And I think that's good news, because we were all broken, weren't we? And Jesus fixed us. I know we go through a lot of things in this life. I know sometimes it's like we can't catch a break. We have seasons that change and good and bad comes. But all in all, in the end, Jesus has fixed us. And we celebrate that. I'm going to try to get through probably about half the chapter tonight and half the chapter next Wednesday night, because it's a very in-depth chapter talking about the coming Messiah. Now, this prophecy was by the prophet Isaiah, and this was prophesied over 600 years before Jesus came. This was not a general prophecy that could be, you know, well, yeah, anybody can say that, right? You know, it wasn't a prophecy like there's going to be a great move in the earth. I mean, that could be anything, right? This prophecy is very detailed, very specific, very encouraging to me to see how God's word comes together 600 years later. It's fulfilled. So we're going to try to get through about probably the first six verses tonight. It's my goal of talking about this coming Messiah. And let's just get into it. Verse 1. Who hath believed? After verse 3, I've got a couple of points I'm going to make. So we'll read the first three verses. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, we'll make a point on this. The dry ground represents, he come out of the Davidic line, David's line, and they had thought it to be dried up and over with. The Davidic line was dried up, and here all of a sudden, it's not dried up. Here comes the most important birth ever. The Messiah comes out of this. He was born very common. Doesn't mean he was ugly physically. When it says, you know, that he had, you know, there was no desire, you know, it's talking about his commonality. He was born just common. You know, he's born just regular people. He wasn't born into a natural royal family. He wasn't born into natural money. He was born very common. He came to the earth very humble. In fact, we know the story at Christmas, right? He was born in the Ramada Inn. He was born in the Hilton Garden. He was born in the Doubletree. No, he was born in a stable. And it wasn't because they couldn't afford one, of course. That's been kind of mistaught, too, because we like to exaggerate stories. He was born in a stable because it was time for the census in town, and the town was full. And all the rooms were booked. You ever went on vacation and couldn't find a room? I mean, it's just booked. Everybody in town, it's booked. You got to go 50 miles outside of town and get a room. So there was no room. And Joseph says, look, I've got my wife's expecting here. And so they found him a spot in a stable. Hardly the way a king would come, right? Hardly the way the great king of the Jews should come. That's not what they were expecting. And God always moves in ways we don't expect. And that's what's beautiful about God. God moves in ways we can't plan. God moves in ways we don't design or draw up on paper. Sometimes God moves like a busted football play. You know, I used to play backyard football, of course. I think every boy, I guess, did. But we used to play backyard football, tackle football. And here's how we did it. And I don't know how they did it in Michigan, but here's how we did it in North Carolina. We get in a huddle. Me and three or four guys, Jamie Lyle, Lewis Holbrook, all of them. We get in a little huddle, and our hand was our drawing pad. And if I was the quarterback, I'd say, okay, Jamie, you line up here. Lewis, you over here. Go out here at that oak tree. Cut hard left. As soon as you turn, look for the ball. It's coming. We drew a play. Well, sometimes a play would bust up, right? Somebody would be chasing me. I'm, running around like a girl. Wah! Trying to get rid of the ball. It's a busted play. And so you wing it. You do it different than how it was drawn up. Sometimes with God, the Jews had in their mentality of how their king should look, how their king should come, what their king should look like, how he should act. And he was nothing like what they drew up. He came very unconditionally. He came born of a virgin. So right there, that's a, wow, okay, he was born of a virgin. I mean, he just came supernaturally conceived by the Holy Spirit. Joseph's daddy, who's Joseph? He's nobody. Just a common man, just a textile worker, a plant, a manufacturer, common blue-collar worker. He's not royalty. Who's he? Who's Joseph? And then they find out he was born in a manger, in a stable with other animals. So he came very common, but all of this was part of God's plan. God's plan is never wrong. Understand that it's never, ever wrong. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, still is today. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. That word esteem means valued. There was no value in him. People didn't value who he was. They didn't recognize who he was. We're coming. If you're a good person, we are. If they're wearing a mask, don't open it. That's funny. You think it's Shirley? No, D's not going to be here. Mindy. I thought, boy, the Holy Ghost moving up in here. Woo! Oh, me. Did you hear me say we're coming? No. Through the microphone? Good thinking. Oh, I love our church family. I got 3 points I want to make now. Turn those up, Brandon. Next. Point number one out of the first 3 verses. I want you to look at this. We're going to concentrate on these 3 points tonight. His message, in these first 3 verses, we learn this. His message is rejected. Now, she can go back to Mr. Randy in the fellowship, huh? Okay. We only had one song. It is 7:25, Minnie. Oh. That's true. First point, his message is rejected. In his message rejected today, his message is still being rejected. His message is rejected by not just the world, but sometimes his message is rejected by the church because they don't understand the message. They're still preaching things that Jesus has set us free from. They're holding on to things that Jesus has set us free from. They're not painting an accurate picture of our King. Sometimes I think that Jesus, the real Jesus, is so misportrayed that they don't recognize him because we've not done a good enough job of painting him as he is. We paint him in a way that doesn't depict the reality of Jesus. And his message today is still rejected, of course, by the world. We know that. The world thinks there's different ways, different paths. And as a Christian, I don't believe that. I truly believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other way that I am redeemed but by the sacrifice of this Jesus. No other way. I believe he paid the price. Nobody else can. Nobody else will. Nobody else has. It is him and him alone that I am redeemed. And they have rejected this message. His own people rejected him. The Jewish people around him. And they believed in a Messiah. Here's the thing that blows my mind. They believed. They were in the synagogues, and they would read Isaiah, and they would read Micah, and they would read these prophets that prophesied of a Messiah coming. They read where David said, you know, I know there'll be a day where all of my iniquities he'll remember no more. I'll be washed white as snow. My transgression will be removed as far as the east is from the west. They read those things. And then here he comes, right among them, and they don't believe in who he is. And unless you believe in who he is and what he really done, you can't walk in the full benefit and blessing of your redemption. And we have a lot of people that don't understand that. A lot of different denominations and teachings. Yeah, he was a prophet. He was a rabbi. He was a good man. He did some miracles. But he was not God in the flesh. He was not the perfect Lamb of God. He was not what? The Messiah, he was not the fulfilled Messiah prophecies. Yes, he was. Yes, He is. He has came. He has died. He has risen. He has ascended. He has returned the Holy Spirit. And he will one day return to restore the kingdom of God forever and ever. There's no other path and there's no other way. And we must get this message out. You're looking for a sign. That sign came. You're looking for an answer. That answer's came. You're looking for a revelation. That revelation has came. You're looking for something to happen. Man, it's already happened. That was an amazing day 2,000 years ago as the Lamb of God hung between two thieves, taking on all of our sin. And the earth grew dark, it says, for 3 hours. All of a sudden, there was no light. The earth around them grew dark because the wrath of God was being poured upon one vessel to pay the price for each of us, that we don't get the punishment that we deserve, because the punishment was placed upon this Lamb of God. That is the message. And people are still denying that message and rejecting that message. And I am so thankful I have a Savior who took a bullet for me, so to speak. He jumped in front of a car for me. He died for me. He gave his life for me. He jumped right in front of danger, and he took it all upon, knowing I would be set free from the penalty and judgment of God, because all of it was put upon him. His message is rejected, and it still is being rejected today. Point number two, his person is refused. You know, it says here in Isaiah 54 or 53, it says that who hath believed our report, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? They rejected who he was. They refused to accept who he says that he was. And we have people today still refusing to accept who he is. We can refuse it all we want. It is what it is. And nothing can change it. He is God. He did come. He has risen. This is the Word of God. It will not ever change. It will not ever fail. Our future has been secure and sealed by what he has done. And no matter if nobody believes it or not, I could tell y'all all night long, it is snowing out there right now, pouring down snow. Bill will be happy about that. Be the only one, probably. It's pouring down snow out there. It ain't pouring down snow. I just don't believe that. And I can see it. I can tell you it's pouring down snow. But unless you believe it, you can't receive it. If we don't believe who he is, we can't receive what he has done. When you try to talk to someone about God and you start trying to talk about the Bible, a lot of times they don't believe the Bible. Well, it's written by men, been translated a billion times, took stuff out, added stuff in, If they don't believe in the Bible, it's hard to help them, isn't it? Because that's where our foundation is at. That's where our truth comes from. And so if they don't believe in the Bible, it's kind of hard to sometimes get them to believe in God. So what we have to sometimes do is say, this is why God made creation the way he did. This is why he says in Romans that he did so. Let me paraphrase what he's really saying in Romans. We talked about creation. Because the verse talks about he did all this creation so that, you know, everybody could see what he done, that no man could possibly doubt, is what he's really saying. He's saying, I did so much, how could anyone doubt that there's a God? I mean, look, you know, something did not come out of nothing. Something came out of something. And that something was the Creator that created all that we see. We can't find the end of space. God's just that good. We've only explored, we read some facts a few weeks ago that man's only explored 5% of the oceans on the earth. Only 5% have been explored, and there's depths that man can't get to because the pressure would crush them, and they don't have the equipment to get that deep. God made it so deep, let's see if he can make that. Space so high, let's see if he can get there. A sun so hot, touch that. I mean, really? To think about that sun being 93 million miles away. Man, we get hot in front of a hot vent in the floor. Whew, man, that hot air blowing out. Sun's 93 million miles away, and it can burn you up like a piece of charcoal. 93 million miles away, and it's literally a big bubbling explosive, big ball of just gases exploding continually, just exploding fire. But yes, that exploding fire that seems so rough and so chaotic and seems so wrathful, that gives us life. The moon was out last, well, the moon's always out, but the moon was really pretty the night on the deck looking at it. I went and got my binoculars. Man, I got my binoculars. I love my binoculars. They're so cool. I'm on the deck, and I'm zooming in on that moon. It was so cool, man. I seen this little green guy going like this. Now I'm playing. I zoomed in, and it was so beautiful. You could see the shadow up on the moon. The binoculars, a big old full, you know, it was that night we had the full moon. And it was just, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, that moon is so far away. And God uses that moon to control the tides. It affects the gravitational pull of the tides. Then you see all the stars. And where I live now, I can see stars I couldn't before. It was too much light. Couldn't see no Robin Hood. Too many trees, too much light. But out there, if you go in my front yard, you can lay on your back in the front yard at night. It looks like almost like a observatory. Yeah. I can look. I'm like, oh, look how beautiful the sky is. You ever try to count the stars? Joe, you ever try to count them? I have. I literally have went, and I can't get past about 25. Okay, there's another one. I missed. I can see a lot of them. But all those beautiful, and near those stars, some of them are billions of miles away. With a B, billions of miles. I mean, Melanie's right. I can't see a stop sign 50 feet in front of me. But I can see something billions of miles away. That's how big God made it. God's like, I'm going to make this so big, even Roger can't miss it. Here I am. I'm God. We see creation. So though they may not believe, okay, Jesus, the Bible, is there a God? Look around. They're still denying, refusing, many people, that Jesus was the fulfillment for our atonement. Searching for something else. But there's got to be something else. I've got to do something, don't I? Ain't I got to do something? Ain't something else got to still happen? No, it's happened. It's done. It's finished. Jesus on the cross cried that out, right? He said, it is finished. It's finished. It's complete. The plan for my life has been fulfilled. The curtain has been rent away. Everything is complete. I now can call you my people and you call me my God because I took the punishment away from you and it was all up on me. 1 Corinthians, him that knew no sin became sin that we could become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. They refuse who he is. We must be strong in the fact. And there's other good people, yes. There's other good philosophies. Yes. You know, the Buddhist philosophy is a good philosophy to live by. But it's not Jesus. And Buddhist philosophy does not save us from our sins. The Buddhist philosophy does not redeem us and atone us. It's a good philosophy to live by. Peace and loving each other and all that good stuff. Fine. But it's no substitute for the person of Jesus. Mother Teresa, a good woman, did a lot of good stuff. Can't save me. Mother Mary, I saw an interview on YouTube. It's the street preacher talking about it. She was a Catholic. He asked, why do you pray to Mary? Why do you pray to Mary? You know what she said? She said, Mary's the mother of all of us. That's what she said. Mary's the mother of all of us. No, she's not. Mary was no different than Melanie. I know. Bless Mary. I mean, Mary was a normal little teenage teeny bopper. Who was a good little girl. She was very young, you know, by most accounts and studying, they agree she was very young. She was a good girl. But she was born from a natural daddy and a natural mama. God just chose her as the vessel to carry out his plan. Mary is not my mother. Mary was the mother of the Messiah. Who is forevermore my father. And that is true. But she said, we're all Mary's children. And so, yes, we pray to Mary. I pray to Mary. Nothing wrong with that. She got real agitated, this preacher. I pray. Mary has nothing to do with my salvation. Joseph had nothing to do. Joseph didn't have a clue what was going on. You're what? Who told you? I ain't touched you, girl. Don't be bringing no charges against me. I didn't touch you. No, the angel of the Lord came. It's all good. It's all good. It's part of God's plan. They refused the person of Jesus. There's nothing wrong with being strong on this, because without the person of Jesus, the gospel doesn't matter. The Christian faith doesn't matter. Our redemption isn't real. Our future isn't secure. Our hope is lost if we deny Jesus. There's no other way. Third point we learned from the first three. His mission was misunderstood. It was misunderstood completely. Remember when he came in the donkey to turn himself in on Palm Sunday? We call it Palm Sunday. I know that kind of came out of a, it's really not Palm Sunday. That came out of Catholicism, honestly. But we refer to it as Palm Sunday. The week before he was crucified, he rode in on a donkey. And they were so excited. Here he is. Yes, Donald Trump, 2020. Woo, yes. He's going to save and make Israel great again. But that's not why he came. Not in that aspect. They thought he was coming to sit on the throne, adjust his robe, restore Israel as a great nation, rule with peace and power and authority. But he was coming for a much deeper purpose than that. Can you imagine what they must have thought? Here's our king. Yay! Now he's arrested. Boo. Now he's going to be crucified. Boo twice. Now he's dead. Now hope's gone. I thought he's going to save us. He's on the cross. Look at him. Wives and husbands probably weeping and talking to each other. What happened, honey? I thought this was it, but he died like every other man dies. His breath is out of his body. He is laying there dead. They probably still had hope, thinking, well, maybe he'll wake up off the cross. Let's watch him for a little bit. Then they took him down and wrapped him up, put him in a grave and rolled a stone. Everybody went home. What happened? This wasn't what should have happened. This wasn't the plan of our king. Our king was to restore us. Our king died on us. But he didn't stay dead, right? 3 days later, something miraculously happened. Came out of that grave. And here's the great thing. Here's why I don't understand why the Jewish people still have not received and accepted this. The Bible says he appeared to many. He walked the earth for, 20 days or something? 40 days? He walked 30 days? He walked the earth for, several weeks before he ascended. And the Bible says more than 500 witnesses saw him and witnessed him. More than 500 people witnessed. Yeah, that's Jesus. That's not a twin brother. That's not a delusion. That's not a lookalike. That's him. That's Jesus. That's the one we saw crucified and buried. He is risen from the dead. And that's why we understand why this nation still has denied that he was and is their Messiah. All these witnesses saw him. They didn't understand his mission. And people today don't understand who he is. They don't understand really why he came. Because in our human condition, and we'll get into talking about, he used the example of sheep. We'll probably get into that next Wednesday. And Bill will love that because he loves sheep. We'll talk about sheep and how we are like sheep in many ways. In our human condition, I think that we think, we still think carnal. And we think because we're okay, I'm not a thief, not a murderer, not a rapist. I'm faithful to my wife or husband. I'm overall a good moral person. We think the morality of our lives dictate whether we make it to the kingdom of God or not. Not understanding, no, without Jesus and what he did, we'd all be lost, all of us. That's the mission. The mission was to restore us and to redeem us. It couldn't happen no other way. It couldn't happen no other way but through Jesus. Doesn't matter what we did, how much we try to live right, his mission was misunderstood then. His mission is still misunderstood today. I'm thankful that I understand the mission, that he came and died for me, paid a price for me, returning for me, that my name's the Lamb's Book of God because of him, that he is worthy, the Bible says, to break the seals and open up the book. He alone is worthy. It's a beautiful new song by Chris Tomlin. Is he worthy? Yes, he is. Oh, yes, he's worthy. He is worthy. He is my Savior, my Redeemer. I know why he came, and I'm thankful I have that knowledge. Many don't know. Let's get into verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken. Once again, the word esteem means to value. Smitten of God and afflicted. He carried your griefs. He carried your pain. He carried your brokenness. He carried your separation. He carried your desperation. He carried your fears. He carried your anguish. He carried everything you would ever battle was placed upon Jesus. Everything you would ever encounter was placed upon him. We don't have to be broke no more. We have been fixed because of the Messiah coming to make things right again, to restore that which was broken. Yes, we were broken. We were shattered. We were lost. We were separated. But no longer do we have to stay broken whenever God has fixed us and put us back together. We were like a puzzle in a million pieces. Nothing fit nothing. And then the Savior came and he restored that and put us back together piece by piece. And now the puzzle forms the picture that God had planned all along, a full wholeness of our lives again. That's what he came to do. We have a generation living broken. They don't have to. They're carrying their grief. They're carrying their pain. They're carrying their guilt. They're carrying their shame. They're carrying all the things they've done, all the things they are, all the things they fear to become. They're carrying those things, and they don't have to. There's no human being that will ever carry or suffer to the degree of what our Savior suffered, ever. Because not only did he have physical pain through a crucifixion, which was the most horrific death of the time, was crucifixion, but he carried the emotional and mental pain of all of our sins. Can you imagine what that experience must have been like? In fact, it was so bad, Jesus said in one place, my God, why have you forsaken me? Can you imagine the pain to think I'm alone? Nobody cares. I'm in this completely and there's nobody to help me. Everybody has turned their back on me. Even heaven has turned its back on me, but it must have come to pass so that me and you, the seed of God, would have hope of a resurrected, restored future that the devil can never control or ever take away. And I'm part of that seed, and you're part of that seed that was planted at Calvary, because his death and resurrection begat sons and daughters of the Most High God. His death and resurrection begat a future that will never end, an eternity that will never run out. He begat his children through that death and resurrection as that blood was spilt. And I am now, and you are now, a child of the living God forevermore. He carried that for us. But we still carry a lot of it ourselves. Instead of doing what it says in Peter, cast all of our cares upon him, for he careth for us. So easy to say, but so hard to do. God, I want to give you all of this. I don't want to walk in a broken state anymore. I don't want to walk in a broken condition whenever you have already fixed me. I just got to know that I'm fixed. You know, I had some car work done last week. $1,500 worth of car work. And I had to put two Cadillac converters in and an oxygen sensor. And because my check engine light was on. And in the great Iredell County, Rowan may be different. You need to check. Iredell County, horrible. If I lived in Catawba or Alexander, I'd be fine. Wouldn't even matter. But because I'm in Iredell County, the check engine light won't pass an inspection if it's on. Car still ran fine. It's a Cadillac converter. I mean, you know, big deal. I didn't really affect anything. But I got to get my car retagged. So I spent $1,500, right? So I go, spend that money, drive it off. I get 20 miles. Guess what happens? Engine light pops back on. I was freaking out. I just spent $1,500 and the engine light's popping on again. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And I had it. What's my point with that? That tied in really good to what I was saying. Yeah, it did. It did, man. I just forgot my point. But anyway, the check engine light popped on and I was like, you know, why is it popping back on? So I took it back and it was a bad oxygen sensor. They put a new one on. And this time I stayed there. I said, look, can you, like, drive his car to Hickory and back? I'll wait here. And I want to make sure it's right before I leave. So he drove it to Claremont for me, actually, and back. And said, because my light was coming on like after about 20 miles. So I knew he went to Claremont back that bit. And it was enough. He said, nope, didn't come off. So the first couple of days, man, I'm driving that car. My eye, you know, I'm just waiting, freaking out, man, panicking, hoping it don't come back on. That's my point, I think. That's how our lives are sometimes, right? God has took our check engine light away. Okay? We have been serviced. And we're good. We're good. But the devil keeps reminding us of that check engine light, of all of our failures and all of our flaws, and we carry that around every single day, and we keep waiting on our life to fail, waiting on things around us to fail, instead of saying, you know what, God, you fix me, the engine light is off, and I'm going to drive with confidence and peace, knowing you're my God, and I'm your child, and that's all that matters. Stuff's going to happen in between, but you're my God, and I'm your child, and you paid a price for me, and I've got a future forevermore, and nothing can change that. All the chaos can't take it away. All the stuff in my life can't take it away. All the sickness can't take it away, because if you got cancer, you got disease, you got bankruptcy, you got divorce, whatever you battle, all of that will be swallowed up in the immortality of our resurrected life that God has waiting for each of us. Hallelujah. All of it's going to give itself up. All of it's going to be swallowed up. So I know, as I said last week, I know what my end result is, and that makes me happy. That makes me very happy. Verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. On the cross, he was being beat for Joe Brown's sins, for Sharon Brown's sins, for Gail's sins. He was being beat for something he didn't deserve. He was being wounded for something that he didn't bring on himself. He was perfect and sinless in all that he did. The Bible says he was tempted, but in all things did not sin. We are tempted as humans, and sometimes we do sin, but not Jesus. He was wounded for our mistakes, our sin, our fallen state, our failed condition. That's what he was wounded for. He was bruised. The word bruised means crushed. He was bruised. He was crushed for our iniquities, not his own. He truly was a prisoner of war, so to speak, to you veterans. He was the greatest POW of all time. He turned himself in to sacrifice his life for all of our lives. For our iniquities, he was crushed, not only in flesh, but in spirit. He was crushed. The chastisement, the conviction of our peace was upon him. We can now have the peace of God and peace with God because of what he did. That's a beautiful thing. There's so many people that don't have the peace of God. They're struggling trying to find peace. God, do you love me? God, have you really forgiven me? God, am I going to be with you one day? God, is my slate really wiped away? God, am I really clean in your eyes? God, am I really yours? God, do I really belong to your family? They don't have no peace. I had a lady years ago, and I've shared this with some of y'all before, years ago in the hospital, was dying, and she passed away years ago, probably 12, 15 years ago. She called me in the hospital, and she wanted to be saved. She talked to me, said, I know I'm dying, and I've done a lot of things. I want to know how am I saved? So, of course, I shared with her the gospel. And so we prayed. A couple weeks later, she was still hanging on. She called me again. I went, she didn't call me, I actually went to visit her until she passed away is what it was. I went by to visit with her. And the next time I went by, she said, I know we prayed last time, but, you know, I was laying here thinking, I don't know if I've really asked God to forgive everything I've done. I mean, I know I probably missed some stuff. I'm sitting there saying, bless her little heart. Just torment. I told her, I said, darling, it ain't about confessing every individual sin you've done. It's about just knowing you're a sinner and that Jesus is the remedy. And you've asked him, God, wipe it away and make me, you know, you're my Lord and Savior. Forgive me. I know my redemption's only in you. That's what it's about. Have peace. Don't worry about it. You ain't got to confess every single thing you've ever done. And that was tormenting her. You know why? Because it's been programmed through religious teaching is what's happened. that you better not do that, go to hell. Better not do that, better go to hell. You better confess every single thing. What if you die in a car wreck on the way home and you know you did that and you didn't? I mean, you know how many times we sin? You know, do you ever, if you really want to get, like I said, get technical about sin, do you ever have road rage? What if we're going home tonight and somebody gets close to Melanie's bumper and she gets that attitude? You hits them brakes a little bit. You better get off my tail. And then when they go by, give them the death stare. Hope she don't have a heart attack in that death stare. Hellbound she goes. Yes, you. See what I mean? Rebellious. I mean, think about that. If we really think, I mean, how many times could God call our number when we're doing something that is considered, in his eyes, sin? So thank God that his redemptive work on the cross paid the price in full. It's like I've said before, if someone paid your mortgage off, you wouldn't keep sending house payments in. It's paid for. Yeah, but I want to make sure it's paid for. Somebody pays my house off, they ain't getting one penny from me. Hallelujah. I'll be doing a rain dance, Joe Brown, to bring Noah's Ark down the road. It's paid for. Hallelujah. I'm not sending one more dime in. It's been taken care of. But spiritually, we keep trying to send payments in. Payments in to try to earn God's favor, not recognizing the person of Jesus. The power of that, of who he was. If Jesus wasn't enough alone, there ain't nobody and nothing that's going to ever be enough. He was and is enough for our redemption. And so I've got peace of God, and now I've got peace with God. That song, right, I'm a friend of God, that's what he told Abraham. That's a scriptural song. He told Abraham, I'm a friend of God. Think about that. That's a pretty good friend to have. A friend of God. With his stripes, we are healed. Now this is specifically, I know God heals physically, I understand that, but this is specifically talking about our spiritual sickness. By his stripes, we are healed from our spiritual sickness of sin. I'm no longer spiritually sick. I'm no longer in death's trap. I'm no longer, as the AC/DC song says, on a highway to hell. I'm no longer going that route. Thank God I've been healed from the disease I was born with, which was sin. And God's stripes took that away. And yes, I know I can be healed physically as well by the power of God and by the hand of God too. And I know he carried that also, that I could have health and have my needs met and have all that stuff in life. But we're talking tonight about the price he paid spiritually for us. Because everybody doesn't get their healing here on earth. But they got their healing when they take their last breath. I mean, I've lost people in my life I love very much and prayed for them and anointed them with oil and prayed over their lives and believed for them. And some of you have fasted for people that you loved and they still went on. But it doesn't mean they weren't healed. They were healed. And I thank God for that. One more verse. We'll close out with 6 tonight. This is talking about the sheep. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. Now, sheep, let me tell you this real quick. 5 minutes, we'll close out. A sheep has no sense of direction. And a sheep has to be led. A sheep will get turned around and get lost pretty quickly. So humanity is really like that. We go our own way. We get off course. We get lost. We find ourselves in a place we didn't plan on being and don't even remember how we sometimes got there. You look at your life and realize, how did I get to where I am now? This wasn't where I was 10 years ago, 5 years ago. For the alcoholic, the drug addict, the person with really dark chains on their lives and strongholds and fighting demons, it didn't start out that way. You know, Melanie brought up a good point one time. We were talking about somebody we knew that was really in a bad situation, a bad way. And she said, you know what, James says, at one time they were a little boy, just like you. They were a little 3 or 4 year old boy, innocent, little boy growing up. And their life is complete hell now. But they were a little boy one time. Sheep get turned around. Sheep have to have a shepherd to lead them and keep them and direct them and protect them. They have to. This is why God put leadership in the earth, even in every facet. Military, police officers, teachers, preachers, managers. I mean, every leadership is part of God's plan, because there has to be a leader in something in order for there to be any proper direction. So we were like those sheep, each person doing their thing their way. And we know we're in that generation like never before. I seen a study where, I remember the number, but it talked about how many average selfies now, usually millennial generation. That could be anybody. Some adults are nuts. But, well, millennials are adults, you know what I mean. Older adults are nuts. But it talks about how many selfies now people, you know, take a day. How many texts a teenager sends in one given day. You know, we're so absorbed with what we're eating, where we're vacationing, what we're driving. Look, I'm petting my dog. Okay? You, good for you. I'm feeding my goldfish. His name's Goldie. Okay, nice. Now, I understand social media is cool, and sometimes we like to share things. We share things. If we're at Biltmore House, you know, hey, checking it out. We're at Biltmore. Hey, wish y'all were here. Then, you know, stuff like that. That's why we do that stuff. I don't care what you say. That's why we do it. But man, we're so self-absorbed now. And so we get in our own path, doing it our way, doing our thing, and forgetting, okay, I've got a shepherd that's leading me and guiding me, and I need to follow my shepherd. Because it's not really about me, it's about what he wants me to do and wants me to be. God, what do you want for my life? Not what I want for my life. What do you want for my life? I've told you, I was perfectly content where I was at Walmart as a manager. I was living a dream, having a good life, liked my job. I really did. I love my job. I look forward to going to work every day. I think I called out one time in 5 years, one day in 5 years at Walmart, one day. I was throwing up or something. I just couldn't get it. One day. I didn't miss work. It's the last manager to leave every day. I was the last manager to leave every day when I worked. Manly used to wait on me. Well, you come out? Yeah, I'll be there. I loved what I did. I had great employees like Miss Sharon, you know, Miss Von Seal, Karina and Kevin, all them good employees. You hear Kevin all over in grocery aisle. He worked hardware. Can I mix that paper? I hear him all the way across the store. Man. I liked my life, and it was good. And then God done this. This wasn't my plan. I promise you it wasn't my plan. I was preaching already, and I enjoyed preaching. But pastoring wasn't ever my plan. And then God did something. God used the Sharons and the Von Seals and the Karinas and those people in the store to push me into God's plan. Because they're the ones that would say, hey, I heard you're a preacher. Yeah, I'm a preacher. And I was ordained at that time. I was like an associate pastor. I wasn't getting paid. I mean, I was just a voluntary position, but I was ordained. And he said, where do you preach? I told him, I said, why don't you hold on? They kept pushing me. All of a sudden, God just started using people to say, heard you're a preacher. Why don't you preach right here somewhere? That's okay. So I went and tell Melanie, they want me to preach. So Melanie said, why don't we run out that fire department? We had a baby shower for somebody in. Oh, for us. Okay. Okay. Sorry. It's a long go. So Melanie said, why don't we rent that fire department out? We had a baby shower. It had a neat little building. It's like $25 to rent it out, you know. And so I called them and rented it out and made up little flyers. Went around Walmart, passing them out in the store. You know, here I am, their manager, passing them out, you know. Revival service. Saturday. I think I called it a Saturday night special is what I called it. Saturday night special. Saturday night, you know, it wasn't an alcoholic drink. Saturday night special. Saturday night special. 58 people came to that service that Saturday night. I couldn't believe it. 58 people came. Now, a lot of them didn't come back. But 58 came to that first service. Huh? Oh, they were. I know. Some of them, yeah, the churches. Yeah. Yeah, it was a good turnout. We were blessed. From that point on, then, God started something. And I didn't want to leave it. But you know what? I'm glad I listened to the shepherd. I'm glad I followed his voice. Thank you, brother. I'm glad that I listened, because this is what God's plan was. But as sheep, we're bad about just doing things our way and getting off course. And the shepherd, like that song Rodney sings, Shepherd's Call, that shepherd's call will get us on it and pull us back in. Over here. Over here. And I'm so thankful for that. This church has been a blessing. You know, I've had a lot of folks that have been out of church for many, many years, and this was the stop they got back into. Said, you know, I've been out for many years, and God brought me back into the church. And I'm thankful for that, that God has used that. We're going to get in the next part of the chapter next week about how Jesus fixed us and get into the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story about what Jesus did 2,000 years ago that changed our forever. And I'm so thankful. Yes. Anybody got any closing comments before we get out of here tonight? Brenda, you got something? See, we don't give you homework. See? Brenda moonlighting on us. That's okay. Just be here Sunday. All's forgiven. Mally, got something? Craig White. Sharon, Craig White used to be a manager down at Mooresville Walmart. Remember, he had a brother. It was it was Craig White. He had a brother that worked there when I was there. Craig came later. 59. He's the one that passed away? It's in a paper he passed away, if that's the same one. It is the same one. He's a great guy. He came to church one time here, didn't he? Didn't he come to one of my services years ago? I think he popped in first. Maybe. He used to be a Walmart manager, Craig White. 59, wow. Yeah, part of June's family, yeah. Craig's how I knew him. Greg was his brother's name, Greg. It's Craig and Greg. What? Wow. Yeah, let's pray. Yeah, she lives. Oh, that's the one that lives right now. Yeah, Keith White. Yeah, Keith White. Remember Keith White from school? Yes. Oh, yeah, I sent the signs. Okay. Man, I'll stop in and see her. Yeah, man. Glad you said that. I'll stop in and see Margaret. Oh, she's funny. She's on that stoop out in the front sometimes, and I'll go by and blow the horn. She'll wave at me. Well, thanks for sharing that. Okay. Everybody else good? Roger, you good tonight? Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Like your lumberjack shirt there, Marjorie. Like you ought to have an axe in your hand. Let's stand to our feet and get you out of here tonight. If you have an offer tonight, you can put it in the plate. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for who you are. We believe in the message. We believe in the messenger. We believe in the mission. And God, because of that, we have been redeemed and transformed forever. Thank you, Lord, for the price you paid for us. Thank you, God, for all you are in our lives. We pray you keep us safe as we go our separate ways. God, we lift up Margaret right now. She's lost this precious loved one of hers. That you bring her strength and comfort and hope and peace, Lord. Wrap your arms around her, God, and just help her in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.